people hearing about this, you know, yet again, it's another historic case, and referring to senior officers not telling detectives, "Oh, don't search his home, leave him alone." It's a familiar picture of a sense of collusion with high-profile figures that's still affecting us today. You think, you know, you'd hope, obviously, that's not there anymore. What would you say about that?
I certainly would. I mean, it's again, I can't talk about the nature of this force in years gone by. That would be wrong of me. But and it's easy, I suppose, to assume that behind this is some sort of upper, a hierarchy sort of gathering together and protecting themselves. That I don't know. And my only beef today is about the decision that's been made by the DPP. And it would be up to you, I think, to ask her, beyond, I'm assuming you've seen the 3 or 4 page statement that she's put out. But to me, that does not address anything like, starkly enough, the balance that has to be struck, if anything, in favour of the victims. And that she signally failed to do.
And is it, it's obviously more than frustrating, I don't know what word you'd use to describe it, but is it more so because there were times in the past where something maybe you could have got this man?
Yes, there were, and, you know, there's been failure here. Let's be quite clear, there has been failure. This man should have been taken to court and had his chance to be in court and, by the way, you know, for the judicial process to run it, so to be defended as well as prosecuted. I'm quite clear on that. But what's happened today, if I can just very briefly say, is there are 3 reasons why this is so bad. First of all, for the victims in this case itself, they will now not have the opportunity to have that, you know, fair, that the legal process has been gone through properly and fully, and to have their day in court. It's not just a matter about being heard or even being believed. It's also about being seeing that the judicial process goes through in whatever the best form. So they are damaged even further. Secondly, there'll be people listening to this programme who themselves are current or ex-victims of child sexual exploitation, and this will have damaged their willingness to come forward, because they need to know that they'll be believed, taken seriously, and that they will, in coming forward, excite a process that will result in the judicial process being seen through to its fullest extent. And that's been damaged. And thirdly, it's about the people who commit these horrendous crimes, the perpetrators of them. I want them to know, and I'm pleased that you give me the opportunity to say, I want them to know that they're going to be hunted down, that the police will strain every sinew in putting together a very powerful portfolio on them, and that when that goes to the CPS and it passes the evidential test, they will find themselves in court. And I'm afraid this decision by the DPP very badly damages that basic need and requirement.
And I mean, taking all the emotion out of it for a second, the fact of it is that it seems the decision by these 4 independent medical experts is that he's got dementia, he can't defend himself, so it's just come too late, this robust evidence, hasn't it?
Well, it's come too late in the sense that there were 3 previous opportunities, 2 of which the CPS eschewed. But in this particular case, as I said, there was another decision that the DPP could have made. And frankly, she really should have made it. She has failed victims today. She should have ordered a finding of fact in court with a jury, with defence and prosecution lawyers, and with a chance for those victims to see that, you know, that fairness was being done, that justice was being done. That's been denied them, and I really, really regret that.
So you're looking into legal steps to perhaps appeal that, overturn that decision, so that maybe you could have a fact-finding one. Do you know what you could do?
Well, I've done everything that I reasonably can as a police and crime commissioner. I have, although be sure I will continue to make sure that these victims and others of a similar ilk are looked after. The force itself has to make a decision about what other processes it wishes to pursue, one of which could be judicial review, but I don't know what's in their minds on that at the moment. And, of course, there is a third thing, which is about the victims. They have a chance to challenge this, and frankly, if I was them, I'd be challenging this decision.
So having said you've done all you can at the moment to potentially appeal this, how confident would you be down the line that it would be overturned?
Well, sometimes it's very hard when people in higher places have made a particular decision for them to row back from that. But I'm quite clear, this is a bad decision. Alison Saunders has got this wrong. And I would rather hope, as indeed the public media flurry today, that's indicative of what normal people think about what should have happened and what patently hasn't happened. And it just might be, that there'll be a reconsideration. I certainly hope there is.
And how much energy will be put into seeking that reconsideration versus looking back at the investigations 91, 2000, to and 2007, and maybe put a review into that and what happened there?
Well, hey, look, well, as I said, there's three elements there. There's the twice before, three now including this one, where the CPS made a certain decision, all of which were wrong. The other one, which was an investigation that was being undertaken here in the early 90s, and it was stopped. And if I was an investigative journalist, I would perhaps be looking at spending some time there and finding out what happened, who made the decision to stop it, at what level and why, and how was it promulgated, and who was told what about the nature of that decision. I have to say that I find it perverse that it wasn't prosecuted or taken ahead all those years ago, and there's a case to answer there. I hope we find out.
And just to drill down into that choice of words, you obviously must have thought carefully about it. Wholly perverse. Why those words?
Because that's what it is. Sometimes, you know, you need to put in the odd stark adjective, and it's not just perverse. It's not just a bit perverse. It is wholly. Sometimes people make decisions and that, you know, could easily have gone the other way. Well, I don't agree. This is such an obvious decision from my point of view. And the DPP, in her statement, they talked, you know, has talked about the fact that it was a close-run thing. Well, do you know what? If it's a close-run thing, and if you really believe in what she herself said in February last year about the need to carry on these prosecutions, never mind the passage of years, she actually said more than that. She said, in the most serious of cases, the default setting, as it were, will be to go ahead with a prosecution. And yet she has flown in the face of her own advice. And so that's why I regret this so much.
Given this, you know, it seems like there's a fracture here, and the police do their investigations, launch these operations, work incredibly hard. But obviously there comes a point where you have to hand over control.
Yeah.
And so what does this say? Does this undermine that relationship, that process, or what has it done for that force and CPS?
Well, one needs to be very careful here, because it's not the police's job to decide whether or not to prosecute. And that is the beauty of the law of our land. And I think it's important that we guard that. It's why, in many ways, this is so damaging, because it doesn't seem to be the right decision when, most of the while, the CPS's decisions about whether or not the police have collated a good enough evidential file to allow a prosecution to go ahead or not don't seem to create too much of a furor. This one has. So the answer is, I hope this is a one-off, or relatively speaking, a one-off. And I would, you know, send the message, please do not think that what I'm saying is I think the whole thing is broken. In fact, it's indicative that it's not broken, that when this does on the occasion happen, that it causes such a severe raising of the eyebrows and real angst, not least amongst the victims.
And what can you tell us about the evidence that you did put forward that was a... Can't talk about that. That's what... Yeah, well, I did have that under his questions, actually. But, okay, and then... It seems to me, just to finish on this, that case after case like this, men spend the best years of their life getting away with it, or they die before justice can be done. So, you know, what is this case doing? Is it undermining the system? I know you said the system's not broken.
Yeah, and I think that's why I chose the words, not just about wholly perverse, but I also said that it flies in the face of all natural justice, and it does. And I'm frustrated. The police are certainly frustrated. Bear in mind, they put in an awful lot of effort over several years to collate a file of evidence, which the DPP says passes the evidential test. So they're, you know, not best impressed by this. And of course, lastly, is that there's the world out there at large, and they see somebody who deserved, at the very least, their day in court. And that has not happened. And I think that's extremely damaging to public confidence about whether or not our whole system is working. But please, I go back. This is a one-off. It should be seen as such. But nonetheless, it doesn't mean that we should somehow excuse it as being a one-off. That's why we're doing these interviews today. This is a bad decision.
And finally, you've called it frustrating. I mean, here, you know, there's enough evidence to prosecute 16 indecent assaults, 6 counts of buggery, and given the seriousness and horrific nature of these allegations. So how else does it feel that, you know, that it's all happened too late?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, the cynics would say that not only, I mean, these were extremely serious and damaging assaults, and these individuals have been damaged for life, for the most part. They were done by a person over not just one or two, but tens of years. And thirdly, that person was in a very high place. And so it was a gross abuse of their position and the trust that was vested in that position. For all of those reasons, that's why this has such a high profile and why it is causing such angst, because there are perceptions amongst some that somehow there's a conspiracy to protect the rich and powerful. And that's why I deplore the decision today, because I don't want to protect the rich and powerful. I want the law to be exactly the same for everybody. Whatever their status, whatever their background, the law should be applied evenly to everybody. And somehow in this particular case, it has not been applied properly. And that I deeply regret.